right. Our scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 12, the first 9 verses, and Genesis 13, 1-4. Brother Joel's message is very appropriate. At 6 o'clock this evening, Yom Kippur started, the Day of Atonement. And of course, all of this is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar is a type of the cross, but it's not a one-way street either. There's a part on each side of the altar. God did the sacrifice, but it costs us something to follow him. So we want to read from Genesis chapter 12, the first 9 verses, and Genesis chapter 13, the first 4 verses. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain or the tree of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now we want to look at chapter 13, the first 4 verses. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. It's amazing, all these altars that he built. I'd like to turn us quickly. You don't have to turn your Bibles, but you're all familiar with the account of Elijah confronting the priests of Baal. It says in 1 Kings 19:30, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's the only solution for society, for the church. We've got to repair the altar of the Lord. We've got to recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we've got to recognize that he said for us to take up our cross, his cross rather, and follow him. Let's kneel before him as we pray.
Once again this evening, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be gathered with you again this evening in worship. I might just report that we had a good day visiting, and I trust we were a blessing to those that we visited, and certainly I was blessed with the visits and the opportunity to learn to know some of your people better. The older folks, I find, are always an inspiration, and their faithfulness, their testimony is a blessing to hear. And I just praise the Lord for the opportunity today to hear some of those stories and those accounts of how God has been faithful to them through the years. This evening we're going to be looking at the life of Abraham. And Abraham is one of the Old Testament Bible characters that challenges me, and one that I believe can give us inspiration to walk, to grow in our walk with God. Abraham is referred to in a number of ways throughout the Scripture. Three different places in the Scripture he's called the friend of God. Two times in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. Abraham is also known as the father of the faithful because of what it says of him in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. And I'd just like to read those verses as we begin the message this evening. By faith, Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Doesn't sound like I read that correctly. Let me start over because it's not making the point that I'd like to make. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is one who teaches us to live by faith. We also notice here that obedience is closely associated with faith. Another thing we learn about Abraham from the Scriptures is that he was an altar builder. When he was called by God to leave the land in which he was born, to go to a place where God would show him, the Scripture tells us that he obeyed. His obedience was an outgrowth of his faith and his devotion to Almighty God. We don't know much about the journey from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. Perhaps because it was Canaan that was the destination. But we know after God led him to the land of Canaan, God took him out on a starry night and told him to look up and number the stars. And God promised him there that night that his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore. And that his inheritance and that his descendants would inherit the land on which he stood at that very moment. It's interesting to read about Abraham's sojourning in the land of Canaan, because wherever he went in the land of Canaan, he was known by his tent and by his altars. The tent marked him as a stranger and a pilgrim in the land. And the altar marked him as a citizen of heaven who worshiped the true and the living God. It's interesting to me that in the land of Canaan is where Abraham built these altars. Canaan was his promised inheritance. We may be tempted to think that since he had arrived at his destination, his problems were over. But actually, his walk with God was just beginning. Some people see the entrance to Canaan as symbolic of dying and going to heaven. But that symbolism is not accurate. Entering Canaan is symbolic of the believer claiming his or her inheritance by faith. God has a Canaan appointed for each of his children, and it is obtained only by faith. Claiming our inheritance may involve trials and challenges, even battles. But God is able to see us through. This was true for Abraham, who would spend many years in Canaan experiencing trials and difficulties in life while waiting on God to fulfill his promises to him. This was also true for the children of Israel all through the years, who after they had entered the land of Canaan had to fight many battles in order to claim their inheritance in the land. It's also true of you and I today. While most of us are not called to pull up stakes and go to a strange country, the challenges to our faith today are just as real. As Christians, we need altars in our lives that give us an avenue to reach out to God. If we expect to grow in our walk with God day by day, we need an altar. If we expect to survive the difficulty that sometimes comes in our occupations, we need an altar. If we want to make it through the challenges that may come to our marriages and families, we need an altar. If we desire to hold up under the stress of a health-related difficulty, we need an altar. And I believe the example of Abraham points out the need for us to have an altar in our lives. Tonight we want to answer the question, what is an altar? For Abraham, an altar was a pile of stones set up as a memorial to God. An altar was where sacrifices were offered. They required the best that the person had to give. It was a representation that the person was dedicated to God, that they were sorry for their sin, and that their lives were committed to God. And so an altar, first of all, is an object that facilitates worship. Genesis 12, verse 7, records when Abraham built his first altar. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. This is the place where God appeared to him and told him that his descendants would inherit the land. He had recently arrived in the land of Canaan after a long journey. And now God was telling him of a new promise. And his heart was overwhelmed in thanks and gratitude to the Lord who had brought him safely to this land. And so he built an altar so that he could worship the Lord. Secondly, an altar marks a special place in our walk with the Lord. Abraham wanted to mark the place where God had so mightily appeared to him. And so he built an altar so that he might remember that place. A third thing about an altar that ties the first two things together is that an altar is an expression of worship in the present, but it also has the ability at a future time to stir our memory of the past. As we study the life of Abraham, we find that he came back and revisited some of these altars from time to time. If we look at Genesis 13, verses 3 and 4, we see an example of that. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. These altars were a reminder to him of the experiences that he had with God in the past. And so for a Christian, an altar is a time, a place, or an event that carries significance in our walk with God. Our walk with God exists simultaneously with our routine of life. We cannot separate the two. If we are walking with God, our lives and our conduct will reflect our inward desire to please God. And any significant time, place, or event that helps us remember God or deepens our devotion to Him can serve as an altar in our lives. Now today, we don't set up a pile of stones as a monument like Abraham did. Rather, an altar for us becomes a sacred place in our mind or memory of what God has done for us, or maybe what God means to us in a particular situation. We might remember when it was or where we were when we first trusted Christ as Savior. We might remember the details of a particular sermon or a particular minister who spoke when we were challenged to a new level of commitment. We might be able to remember the time or the place where we gained victory in a certain area of our lives. Any of these things, I believe, can be an altar in our lives to remind us of what God has done for us and to mark the place where it happened. It's interesting to me that Abraham built these altars to the Lord during the normal routines of life. The first altar he built was after God had brought him to the land of Canaan. The altar marked the beginning of his time there. But he also began a habit of building altars throughout the land of Canaan, which tell us about his walk with God. Abraham had a number of experiences with God while he dwelt in this land, which God had promised to him and his descendants. The altars tell us that not only had God brought him to this land, but that God also continued to go with him and to carry him on in the land wherever he journeyed. You know, the life of faith is one that never stands still. Warren Wiersbe says, quote, "If your feet are going, your faith is growing." That was certainly true of Abraham. Listen to the verbs used to describe Abraham's life and faith experience. In verse 4 of chapter 12, we're looking for the verbs in this verse. So listen carefully. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." In verse 5, it says that Abram went forth to go into the land of Canaan. In verse 6, it says, "Abram passed through unto the land, unto the place of Shechem." In verse 8, it says that Abram removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And in verse 9, it says that Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Abraham was constantly moving, obeying the voice of God, obtaining victories, and walking in fellowship with God. God kept Abraham moving so that his faith would continue to grow. Many times we do not like to face this truth, but we do not find that our faith will grow without God continuing to test our faith and to prove it. And many times our faith is not tested when we are comfortable. God can and often does use the difficult situations in our lives to increase our faith, to bring us on in our walk with Him, and to help us reach maturity. How did Abraham know where to go and what to do? In verse 8, it says that he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. I believe he prayed to the Lord and asked the Lord what he should do next. And we find that the Lord answered him and gave him the direction that he needed for his journey. As we think about this concept of how Abraham built altars throughout his life and throughout the land of Canaan, I'd like to point out this evening that Abraham's altars are not to be confused with idols. Abraham did not worship the altars which he built. He built the altars to offer sacrifice to the Lord and to worship Him, which He did while His neighbors could look on. He did this as a testimony to those round about Him of the goodness and faithfulness of God. According to verse 6 of chapter 12, there were Canaanites living in the land where Abraham settled. These pagan neighbors could see that these were altars and not idols. They could see Abraham's conduct and devotion to God. They saw that he was not ashamed to worship God openly. Then when God would lead Abraham to a new area, they could see that he left that altar behind. He would build a new altar in the new location when the occasion called for it. And the old altar remained behind, serving simply as a reminder of what God meant to him in that location and in that situation. The objects and the memories that serve as altars in our lives have the potential to be an idol and become an object of our worship. But I would challenge us this evening to let the altars that we build in our lives remain an object that facilitates our worship of Almighty God, that we would not resort to worshiping that object or that experience. Many times people will, if you ask them about their relationship with God, they will talk about a certain experience, and they won't really answer the question of their relationship with God. These experiences, these objects, these markers of what or of whatever sort they may be are only things that help us worship God in our lives. And we need to guard against letting them become an idol instead. Another question I'd like to answer in the message tonight is, what happens when we neglect to build altars? We've looked at what altars are and their importance in our lives, but what happens if we neglect to build altars? As we look in the life of Abraham, we know that he encountered difficult times just like you and I. But one of the difficulties that he faced was drought that came to the land of Canaan. From what we can tell, the drought affected everyone who lived there, the godly as well as the ungodly people. Abraham's way of dealing with the drought was to go to Egypt, where there was apparently sufficient food. Now, some would argue that Egypt typifies sin throughout the scriptures and that he should not have gone to Egypt. And I would not necessarily disagree with that, because I believe God could have provided for Abraham in the land of Canaan. After all, it was the land that God had promised him and the land that God had called him to. And it would seem that God would not call someone to a place where he could not provide for them. At any rate, we do notice that while Abraham was in Egypt, there is no record that he built any altars. Perhaps this explains the reason for the fear that came upon his heart during his time there. Before Abraham even entered Egypt, we learned that he was fearful that the Egyptians would kill him for the sake of his beautiful wife. And so he devised a plan that both he and Sarai would lie and say that she was his sister. A plan that I believe was induced by fear. I'm not sure I see the logic in how Abraham thought it would spare his life by lying about her being his sister. But at any rate, the plan did not work out like he had hoped. God revealed to Pharaoh through a series of events that Sarah was indeed his wife. And Abraham was forced to leave Egypt with the reputation of being a liar. I believe the plan to lie about his wife's identity was definitely a result of fear. And I believe we need to understand the nature and the origin of fear. Fear captures the devotion of our soul when we neglect to worship. And it indicates that either faith is absent or that it has faltered. Fear comes as a result of an attack from Satan. In contrast, faith can only be developed and grow as we give ourselves to the worship of Almighty God. Worship is something that's much more than just coming to church and listening to a message or going through some religious ritual. Worship is the response of the human heart to Almighty God. It's the response of our heart to God as He reveals Himself from time to time. In other words, worship develops our faith and dispels our fear. Romans chapter 10 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God imparts truth to us and inspires us to be in awe of God, which in turn dispels our fears and keeps us from sin. And so I believe we can see the direct correlation between the fact that Abraham did not build any altars in Egypt and the reality that he turned to sinful behavior because of fear. Perhaps fear was the reason why he went to Egypt in the first place. Perhaps he was doubtful that God could provide for him in Canaan. Neglecting to worship God allowed a lack of trust to develop in his heart, and he became vulnerable to fear. Fear, in turn, caused him to turn to compromising behavior in an effort to spare his own life. Now, thankfully, God does not immediately cast off his people when they make mistakes. Thank God tonight that he does not deal with us according to our folly. God spared Abraham's life in spite of the fact that he behaved in an ungodly manner. God does the same for us when we are confronted with the same types of challenges and difficulties in life. Sometimes we fail at staying in tune with God the way we should. We may distance ourselves from God many times unintentionally. It's the human tendency to stray from God. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But Satan then takes that opportunity to strike fear in our hearts. And all of a sudden, we are contemplating sinful behavior. And without a careful recognition of where we are in the crucial situation that we are in, we can yield to that temptation. There are several verses in Psalms that I think illustrate this principle and challenge us in this area. Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." We see in those verses the connection between worshiping God for who He is and that action keeping us from sin. As we worship God in our lives, as we recognize who He is, it better helps us overcome the temptation that we may be facing. Psalm 33 verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." I believe these verses challenge us to build altars in our lives. And the need that we have to continually renew our awe of God. When we neglect to build altars, we become vulnerable to sin and compromise. That's a fundamental principle that we see throughout the scriptures. When we neglect to build altars, we become vulnerable to sin and compromise. And so this evening, I trust the case has been made that we need to build altars in our lives. What does that mean? What does that look like? I've already mentioned some. But there are some altars that we build very infrequently. Perhaps the time we gain victory over a certain habit. That can be an altar in our life. Then when we face another situation or a temptation, we can go back and remember how God delivered us previously. And it can give us encouragement, motivation, and the wherewithal within to overcome what we are presently facing. The place where we first accepted Christ, the week of camp where we rededicated our life to Christ, any of these can be great memorials in our lives to help to shape our relationship with God. But there are other kinds of altars that we may build only once in a lifetime, or maybe once every year or once every decade. But we really need to be reminded of God's greatness much more often for our walk with God to be new and fresh. And so we need to intentionally look for opportunities to build an altar, something that we can go back to later and remember what God has done for us. Thankfully, there are some altars that God has already built for us and that He has ordained as regular times and places of worship. The spiritual disciplines can be an altar in our lives. The weekly gathering of the saints is an altar that has already been built that I trust we take advantage of. The church is ordained to be a comfort and an encouragement to us. Let's make it a habit to come and to gather regularly. We need to stay close to one another. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the unity of God's people. And let's purpose to labor together in the work and mission of the church. Another altar where God meets us is in the pages of the Bible. God will meet our deepest needs when we are in tune with Him and meet with Him regularly. The Bible is not just a history of what God has done in the past or what He has done for others, but it is also a revelation of who He is and what He can do for us and what He can help us to become. One final altar that I'd like to mention this evening is the family altar. The family altar is extremely important as well for the success and well-being of our homes and families. Every family needs a time each day to read the Bible together and offer prayers of praise and confession and requests for guidance. This may not seem like much, but it can mean the difference between a family that honors God and functions well and a family that disintegrates. Many situations and challenges in life can cause us to build an altar. And I trust this evening that we've been challenged to take advantage of these opportunities to build altars in our lives. How we need them. We need them to renew our trust and awe of God. We need them to keep us from sin. And we need them to help us finish well. And so I trust this evening that we will purpose in our heart to not only build altars in our lives, but also to go back and revisit those altars from time to time as well. This evening we're going to sing a hymn of invitation and give you opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who needs to build an altar. We want to give you that opportunity. We want to come alongside you and help you with whatever situation is in your life. Whether you're in need of a first-time commitment to Christ as Savior and Lord, or maybe you're struggling in your life and you need some specific help and encouragement, maybe you need someone to pray with you, tonight would be a good time to build that altar in your life. What numbers will we sing for a hymn of invitation?